reflect upon the Acts of the Apostles and the experience of Stephen and what these things might be saying to us. The gospel is comfort, isn't it? Jesus says, for example, when we listened to the Beatitudes earlier, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Or again, later in Matthew's gospel, those wonderful words at the end of chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or those equally splendid words, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And many remember, many quote, many share what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And later, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And again, those wonderful words that John writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Comfort. Comfort. This week in our daily readings, we have been reading the events that lead up to what's happening to Stephen. The church appointed seven men, known to be full of the spirit and wisdom, to organise the fair, charitable distribution of food to both the Grecian widows and the Jewish widows in the faith. And Stephen was one of those seven. He was a man full of God's grace, full of God's grace and power. And in the way that Jesus did, he also did great wonders and miraculous signs. His ministry brought blessed comfort to many. Comfort, comfort. Coming slightly sideways for a moment, I was reminded that this week is the anniversary of the Battle of Waterloo, the 18th of June. Now, for those who may not remember your history, it was a battle between Allied forces led by Wellington and French forces led by Napoleon. It was known to be a battle that would be coming. So a system was devised to communicate the battle's outcome to England. It was agreed that churches in Belgium would from their tops flash a signal across the channel to England. And the message of the signal, because it was understood that Wellington would win, and the intended and hoped for message of the signal was Wellington defeated Napoleon. Now came the day, came the battle, came the victory. And as the message was sent across the channel from Belgium, a fog rose up from the waters. And by the time the message was reaching England, it was cut short by the fog. And it read, Wellington defeated. For hours, there was fear of what would follow. More war, more soldiers killed, more families grieved, more tyranny, more pain, more suffering. Only when the fog was lifted was the full message made visible. Wellington defeated Napoleon. See, The comfort of the good news is a message that's only fully revealed by the cross. The Good Friday cross that leads to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to receive the full gospel message if we are to find eternal and ultimate comfort. The gospel is comfort and cross. Indeed, to read the gospels is to see threaded through them the necessity of the cross. I mean, for example, in Mark's gospel, chapter 8, the very literary centre of the gospel and also the divine centre of the gospel. Jesus begins to teach the disciples that the Son of Man must suffer, and that means he will be killed. And yet, after 3 days, he will rise again. He will suffer, he'll be rejected, he'll be killed, he'll be resurrected. See, the comfort of eternal life only comes through the resurrection of Christ, which itself can only flow from the cross. Well, Peter couldn't face the cross, could he? He took Jesus aside, and really interestingly, Mark tells us that Peter began to rebuke Jesus. But Jesus would have none of it. "Get behind me, Satan." That was his rebuke to Peter. His rejection of comfort. And he went on to say, so there could be no misunderstanding. "If anyone would come after me, he, she must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." Now, for most of us, the cross is a metaphor. Though sadly, for too many, for all too many of our brothers and sisters across the world, in time and space, ever since Stephen, it has been a reality in false accusations by people seeking a condemning verdict and a legalized execution. Yet, even as a metaphor for us, it's a metaphor with meaning. As Paul urges us in Romans 12, in view of God's mercy, that is, in view of the comfort we have received in and through God's mercy, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Not living anymore according to our old sinful nature. For if we do live according to the sinful nature, we will die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of our bodies, we will live. See, the Christian lives by the Holy Spirit. The Christian seeks to be and do what the Holy Spirit desires, not what our bodies seek. And it's to those that Paul is writing, those who are actual Christians. He's not writing to non-Christians, he's writing to Christians, and he's saying, look, Christians, the people who live by the Holy Spirit, they are the ones who will not be condemned. They are the ones who will not be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, it's from the crucifying of our old lifestyle that we live in Christ's comfort. Let's return directly to Stephen. Following Christ, as we said before, he did great wonders and miraculous signs, for he was a man full of God's grace and power. In his ministry, he offered many the comfort of the good news. And what happened? He met rejection. Those who resisted the Holy Spirit and murdered the baptized, the righteous one, that is Jesus Christ, rose up to murder him. Yet through that cross, Stephen came into utter comfort. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." See, taking our cross is the pathway to our eternal bliss. A long time ago, not as far away as the Battle of Waterloo, just 50 or 60 years ago, there were very few television stations, and there was no means to record them. You had to watch what you wanted to watch when it was being televised. And people had to make choices about what they did. But later, the video recorder was invented. And then suddenly they could choose to do something now, record the program and watch it later. See, the world found a way to multiply our choices. But the gospel is not a multi-choice option. You can't take the comfort now and the cross later, if that's your desire. As we walk with Jesus, the choice of the cross or the world's way is always popping up before us. We walk a way that leads to a Y junction. Will you go right with Jesus or left with the world? They seem to start from the same place, but as you know, a Y leads into entirely different directions. See, our hearts, when we approach these junction points in our lives, these choices of the gospel before us, our hearts call for comfort. With Peter, we want to turn away from the way of the cross. Yet, the gospel calls us to be living sacrifices. And with Peter, with Stephen, with Paul, with James, and with so many others then and now, may we see that choosing the cross is the pathway to our comfort. And that's not just for us as individuals. It's us for the church and for those whom the Lord is seeking to bring into his kingdom. You see, look what happens next after we read and mourn Stephen's death. Paul, Saul, as he then was, organises a great persecution against the church. But those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And the blessings they brought, as for example in the preaching and healing work of Philip, brought great joy to many. Glory to God. Glory to Christ our Lord, who brings the year of the Lord's favour to us and to all by his cross. It's because of that all who believe will be in paradise with him and come into eternal bliss in the new creation. Whatever we might suffer now by choosing the cross is as nothing compared to that bliss. May that cross, may the comfort that comes from it shape the living of our lives today as individuals and as a church. May we always put following Jesus, though it may bring us to suffering, as our first priority, believing and hoping and trusting it will be the way of our present and eternal comfort. In Jesus' name, Amen.